Welcome to Nizhny Novgorod, or Nizhny, as the citizens call it. In the 19th century, Nizhny was known as the pocket of Russia and the trading capital, home for the most powerful merchants' clans. Nizhny was also the host city for the famous Makariev Fair, which attracted people from all over the world. During the fair, the number of guests exceeded the population of the city by 10 times. Making a tour along Rozhdestvenskaya Street, we will see the old business center of the city. Let's start. Point 1. Riverboat Station, 15A Markin Square. Today, Nizhny is a center of river tourism. Many cruises start or finish here. The riverboat station, built in 1964, looks like a steamboat, though you cannot say for sure in which direction it sails. The boat has two sterns and no nose. Nizhny Novgorod stands on the confluence of two great rivers, the Volga and the Oka. The Volga is one of the largest rivers in the world, the longest river in Europe. The Volga has always played an important role in the life of Russia. In many folk tales and old songs, it is called Mother Volga. It fed Russia with tons of fish. Trading and passenger ships went up and down the river. The Volga supplied towns and villages with water. In the 20th century, 8 power stations were built on the river. The Oka is the largest of the tributaries of the Volga. At their confluence, both the rivers have almost the same width. According to a folk legend, the Volga and the Oka met near Nizhny Novgorod and argued about the name that the large new river would receive. Finally, they decided to run alongside until they heard someone calling the name of the Volga or the Oka. The name that sounded first would be the name of the big flow. In a short time, they heard girls singing. Their song was about Mother Volga. The Oka had to admit her defeat. The large river was called the Volga. Indeed, the waters of the Volga and the Oka do not mix for another 30 kilometers after the confluence. On some days, it is clearly visible from the high bank, as if two different rivers flow in the same channel. The water in the Volga is grayish-blue, and the Oka yellowish. The Volga is mentioned in countless Russian songs, fairy tales, and poems. Her majestic beauty has been admired by many generations of Russian artists, poets, and writers. Nowadays, it is loved in Russia no less than in old times. Ships, hotels, cars, factories, and trains bear the Volga's name. Volga is also the name of Nizhny Novgorod Football Club. Point 2. The Fountain in Markin Square. We are in Markin Square, named after the hero of the Civil War, Nikolai Markin. In the center of the square, there's a fountain. There used to be a different fountain here, the Philanthropist's Fountain. Nizhny stands on the confluence of two great rivers. Nevertheless, it suffered from the lack of drinking water for ages. The water taken from the wells in the city was considered to be unsuitable for drinking, hard and bitter. For technical needs, water was transported through the city in barrels on wheels, which were pulled by horses. For drinking water, women with buckets went to the river. Only in the 19th century, the municipal water supply system appeared. it was quite different from the system we're accustomed to now, with a pipe leading to every house. It consisted of two fountains, one of them up the hill, the one we can see in Minnan Square, and the other here, down the hill. It was a round, cast-iron bowl with the names of all philanthropists who donated money for its construction, all of them rich merchants. It was also written that the fountain was given to the city forever and absolutely free. Unfortunately, the fountain bowl has disappeared. And in Soviet times, another fountain was put here. Point 3. The Monument to the Heroes of the Volga Fleet. Near the fountain, there is a monument to the heroes of the Volga Fleet, which the locals call the Monument to Three Sailors. The Volga military fleet was organized in 1918, after the revolution, and took part in the Civil War, including the battles on the Volga, the Kama, and the Caspian Sea. The three severe bronze sailors marching shoulder to shoulder symbolize the new epoch. All the three sailors have historical prototypes. The one ahead is Nikolai Markin, the organizer of the Volga military fleet and its first commander. He died at the age of 25 in the battle on the Kama River, where his ship fell into an artillery ambush. Markin was fighting until the last minute, shielding the retreat of his crew with machine gun fire. Now the square is named after him. On his right, Fedor Raskolnikov is marching. Raskolnikov headed the Volga military fleet after Markin's death. Later, he became the commissar of the naval general headquarters and a diplomat. When Joseph Stalin began massive repressions against old Bolsheviks in the 1930s, Raskolnikov managed to emigrate to France, but a year later died in Nice under unclear circumstances. The youngest of the three sailors is Vsevolod Vishnevsky, a machine gunner, in the future a famous writer, playwright, and screenwriter. The Stock Exchange, 16, Nizhnevolskoye Embankment. This building was put here shortly before the Great Exhibition of 1896. It was constructed for the Stock Exchange, the place where important deals were signed. Almost half of the visitors to the Nizhny Novgorod Stock Exchange were ship owners, followed by grain exporters, then oil traders and timber merchants. They were major deals for future river and sea navigation. The Nizhny Novgorod Exchange set prices for transportation by water practically throughout all the territory of Central Russia. In addition, it was a club for the richest merchants of the city. Every Thursday they would come here for their ceremonial tea. For every type of business, there was a separate table, the rope table, the salt table, the fish table, the cereal table. Only the richest people, without distinction of their activity, were allowed to sit at the millionaire's table. Only the merchant who made a deal for more than 1 million rubles in the current season could sit there. In the 19th century, 1 million rubles was an astronomical sum. In honor of such a deal, the merchant treated everyone to champagne. Point 5. Rails, next to 28 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. We have crossed the tram rails. This is the first tramway route in Russia, laid in 1896. There were three tram lines in the city. The speed of a tram was small, about 10 kilometers per hour, but the citizens considered it dangerous. At first, there were always conflicts between fare collectors and passengers, which demanded to stop the tram whenever a passenger wanted to get off. Inside all the trams, there were so-called mugs for complaints, where passengers could leave their written comments and suggestions for improving the work of the tram. The most common cause of complaints was the tram derailed. Passengers had to get off the tram and put it in place by combined efforts. Fortunately, the tram cars were made of plywood, and putting them back on the rails was easy. Usually, the incident ended safely. By the way, at both ends, the tram was equipped with special strong grids in case a horse bumped into the tram. Since then, much has changed. Trams have become faster and much safer, but they still go along the same route, the very first route in Russia. Now let's look along the street to the right and to the left. Rozhdestvenskaya Street is one of the oldest streets in Nizhny. Originally, it was nothing but a narrow path going along the river. It developed in close connection with trade and navigation. In ancient Russia, where forests were impassable and the roads were in bad condition, rivers were the most important way of communication. In summer, people traveled by boat. In winter, they used the frozen rivers to ride in sledges. The boats going up and down the river had to stop in Nizhny to buy all the necessities. So, here, near the river, a big marketplace was at their service. Moreover, in the 17th century, the customs was organized in Nizhny to check all the items transported on board. With the development of trade, the street grew too. Initially, Rozhdestvenskaya Street consisted of wooden houses put chaotically here and there. But at the beginning of the 19th century, the famous Russian engineer of Spanish origin, Augustin Betancourt, designed a new Rozhdestvenskaya, a straight street with stone buildings with aligned facades. Betancourt is a true hero of Nizhny. The citizens of Nizhny Novgorod are grateful for the design and construction of the magnificent fair complex, for the reconstruction of the embankments, which give the city a unique look. Not far from the football stadium, there's a street named after Augustin Betancourt. Due to its proximity to the fair, Rozhdestvenskaya Street was a very attractive place for commercial construction. Soon, hotels, rental houses, banks, and restaurants that belonged to the richest merchants of the city grew here. These were, in fact, stone business cards of the owners. It is no accident that the well-known Nizhny Novgorod regional historian Kremtsovsky wrote in the 19th century that Rozhdestvenskaya Street is the best of all streets of Nizhny Novgorod by the beauty of its buildings and the number of people. In the 19th century, the street was a spitting image of the city of London, the heart of business life. The Painter Monument. If you stand with your back to the river, turn to the right and follow Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Soon, you will see a small monument, which depicts the artist Konstantin Makovsky, one of the most popular Russian painters of the second half of the 19th century. All the long professional life of Konstantin Makovsky destroys the stereotype that if the artist is talented, Then, he must necessarily be poor. Makovsky was the most fashionable artist of his time, and as a result, the richest one. Even the members of the royal family were among the many admirers of his talent. Makovsky was especially good at painting the scenes of life of medieval Russia. He accurately depicted jewelry, clothes, and household items of that time. The main work of Makovsky is the monumental canvas Minin's Appeal to the People, which depicts one of the most dramatic episodes of the history of Nizhny. The national hero Minin summoning Nizhny Novgorod citizens to arms in 1611. Today, this picture is exhibited in the Nizhny Novgorod State Art Museum in the branch located at 3 Verkhnevolskaya Embankment. While preparing for the painting, the artist spent a lot of time in Nizhny Novgorod. Here he made sketches and collected facts about Minin and his time. But when the time came, Makovsky preferred to paint in France. In Russia, there was no painting studio where the giant canvas could be placed. Later, the picture was purchased by the Ministry of the Imperial Court. After that, on behalf of the last Russian Tsar, Nicholas II, the picture was presented to the city of Nizhny Novgorod as a sign of recognition of the merits of Nizhny Novgorod to the state. The Stroganov Church, 34A Rozhdestvenskaya Street. The Stroganov Church stands out clearly against the backdrop of the hill at any time of the year. The first thing to notice is the magnificent white stone decorations. Here you can see flowers, apples, pears, and even garnets and grapes, exotic for Russia. Five multicolored heads of the church are crowned with wrought iron crosses. This magnificent temple was built in the late 17th, early 18th centuries at the expense of the merchant Grigory Stroganov. Tsar Peter I called Stroganov "my purse" for his readiness to finance all his projects, for example, the long years of the Northern War with Sweden. In the design of the temple, there are unusual details, such as the flag-shaped weathercock under the cross, a tribute to the fashion for maritime objects imposed by Peter the Great, and the tower clock. As legend says, when the temple was finished, Stroganov instructed his servants to blind the artisan who had built it. Stroganov wanted to know for sure that no rival to this marvelous church would appear in Russia. However, another legend says that the artisan was a hard nut to crack. He escaped from Stroganov's servants, climbed up the roof of the church, turned into a black raven, and flew away. Anyway, the legend can't be true, as Stroganov had already died by the time the church was finished. Here is an interesting and well-proved fact. In 1722, when Peter the Great was celebrating his 50th anniversary in Nizhny Novgorod, he visited the church and immediately ordered to close it. The emperor was furious, and it can be easily explained. He recognized the icons he ordered to Karavak, the painter of the court, for the Church of Peter and Paul in St. Petersburg. Stroganov had secretly bought them from Karavak, who made for the Tsar another copy, not that beautiful. According to another version, the icons were painted in the European manner by Stepan Narykov, Stroganov's serf artist, who had studied painting in Holland. As a model for the face of Christ, the painter took his master, Grigory Stroganov. This portrait resemblance angered the emperor. Anyway, the church stood closed for 3 years, until the Tsar's death. The church is also remarkable because it shows the true nature of the merchant's religious feelings. In the basement of the beautiful temple, Stroganov arranged a storehouse for the main product he sold, for salt. A high official of the Ministry of the Interior, the author of Travel Notes on Russia, Mikhail Zhdanov, wrote in 1843, "What genius created this wonderful temple? What a taste! What a harmonious variety in all parts of it! It seems that all the orders of architecture are combined in this temple. But they are combined so harmoniously, so well, that one cannot but look at it with enthusiasm. I wanted to have a drawing of this majestic building, but could not get it. Even the Asians who come to the fair admire this church and pay a lot of money to those who make the drawing. Why is not Victor Hugo in my place? He would acquaint all Europe with our treasure. He would resurrect the name of the artist." In Soviet era, the church miraculously survived, while many other churches were demolished. The priest who served here, Sergei Vasov, managed to prove to the authorities that the building was of historical and architectural value. For many years, there was a medical storehouse here, then a city museum. Today, the church is returned to the believers. Point 8. The viewing point near the Stroganov's salt office, 29 Suetinskaya Street. In the 18th century, the small building served as a salt office for the Stroganovs. From here, they managed the affairs of the huge commercial and industrial empire. The Stroganovs completely controlled salt industry in Russia, the extraction of salt, its transportation, storage, and sales. Pay attention to the contrast that the modest building of the office makes to the magnificent church. Building the temple was a tribute to the prestige of the family, so the Stroganovs did not spare money. But the construction of the office pursued purely practical goals. From the salt office, there's a beautiful view over the other bank of the Oka River, the beautiful Alexander Nevsky Cathedral, and the Nizhny Novgorod Stadium. The left bank of the Oka was the place where the great Nizhny Novgorod Fair was held in the 19th century. Thanks to the fair, Nizhny was world famous. Moscow was said to be the heart of Russia, St. Petersburg the brain of Russia, and Nizhny Novgorod the pocket of Russia. The fair opened only for 2 months a year, but for that short time, it attracted hundreds of thousands of people. The goods for sale were transported not only from different parts of Russia, but from all over the world. There were more than 5,000 big shops and about 17,000 smaller ones at the fair. 43 hotels were serving guests day and night. There were several churches on the territory of the fair, the Muslim mosque, the Armenian church, and two Orthodox churches. One of them is the Alexander Nevsky Cathedral, one of the biggest churches in Russia. It stands at the confluence of the Volga and the Oka. It was built on the donations of the fair merchants. The cathedral is set on a plot of wet land, and every spring the river overflowed the banks and flooded the place. Therefore, the cathedral has no traditional foundation. At its base, there's a raft of 1,200 giant pine logs. In Soviet times, they wanted to demolish the cathedral and replace it with a lighthouse, with a monument to Lenin on top. Fortunately, the project was not implemented. But still, the cathedral lost its roof and the interior decorations, including the icons, which were used as firewood. During the war, on top of the cathedral, artillery weapons were placed to protect the city from German bombers. But the foundation raft withstood it. Today, the cathedral is completely restored. Behind the cathedral, you can see the stadium, named as the whole city, Nizhny Novgorod. It is located on Strelka, a sharp cape formed by the confluence of the Volga and the Oka. Strelka means arrow in Russian. The cape received this name because it resembles the tip of an arrow. The stadium for 45,000 seats was opened in April 2018. It is designed in blue colors. The appearance of the stadium evokes associations with water and wind, integral parts of the Volga landscape. At first, the citizens doubted if the place for the stadium was chosen correctly. They feared that it would destroy the image of Strelka. But now they agree that the stadium creates a beautiful background for the cathedral, merging in color with the sky and water. Point 9. Abimelech Lazarev's Mansion, 46 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. The last house on the side of Rozhdestvenskaya Street belonged to the noble family of Armenian descent, the Abimelech Lazarevs. They lived mostly in the capital and seldom came to Nizhny Novgorod. For those visits, a city mansion was built in 1845. After the revolution of 1917, Czechists came to the house left by the owners. In Russian, the word Czechist means a member of All Russia Extraordinary Commission, abbreviated as CHK. It was the first Soviet secret police organization. Czechists were looking for the values that rich citizens left after fleeing the city. But the house had already been visited by looters. Floors opened, fireplaces smashed, expensive wallpaper torn off. However, the Czechists were more fortunate than their predecessors. After a whole day of unsuccessful search, one of them accidentally touched a wooden curl on the mirror frame. Part of the wall shifted, revealing a secret door. As characters of Arabian fairy tales, they stood on the threshold of a room full of coins, jewelry, gold, and silver dishes. The treasure was estimated at a fantastic sum of 1 million rubles. Currently, paintings from the Abimelech Lazarev collection are kept in the Nizhny Novgorod State Art Museum, and some silver objects are in the Nizhny Novgorod Historical and Architectural Museum. All the rest disappeared or was confiscated for the needs of the revolution. Point 10. The Annunciation Monastery, Blagoveshenskaya Square. We're in the square, which is called Blagoveshenskaya, which means Annunciation in Russian, by the name of the monastery located here. The monastery is the same age as Nizhny Novgorod. It was founded here for missionary activities among local pagan tribes. In 1229, during the attack of Moldavian prince Pergus, the monastery was burned down. According to the legend, Metropolitan Alexei of Moscow, heading to the Golden Horde, stopped in Nizhny Novgorod. He did not find shelter in any private house and was forced to stay overnight at the ruins of the monastery. Sitting at the spring under the hill and looking at the ruins, he vowed to restore the monastery in case of a successful return. Alexei was released from the horde with great honor because he healed the Khan's wife Teidula of blindness. In that way, he saved Russia from a new ruinous raid. He fulfilled his vow. The monastery was restored. In 1919, the monastery was closed. In 1947, Gorky Planetarium, the second planetarium of the country after the one in Moscow, was opened here. In 1991, the building was returned to the Russian Orthodox Church. Today it is a monastery again. as all the planetarium, a new one was built on the opposite bank of the Aka. Point 11. Dobrov and Nebgold's Machine Building Association, 43 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Let's follow Rozhdestvenskaya Street in the opposite direction. Facing the Stroganov Church, we can see a red and white house similar at a glance to a residential building. And yet, this is the facade of a factory, the only one in Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Its owners were the Dobrov brothers from Moscow and the Swiss citizen Nebgolds. They produced equipment for mills. Previously, mills in Russia were mostly water-driven, and they were built on fast rivers, tributaries of the Volga and the Aka. But such mills could work only in warm seasons. People needed mills that could work all year round. Therefore, in 1873, this factory was opened in Nizhny Novgorod, where, for the first time in Russia, the production of grain grinding machines began. The factory received many awards at exhibitions and the right to mark their products with a two-headed eagle, part of the coat of arms of the Russian Empire. The facade of the factory was designed to give it the appearance of a residential building, so it would not spoil the look of the elegant Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Point 12. Blinov's Passage, 46 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. This building was put here by the Blinov brothers, rich merchants from Nizhny, as a house for rent. It was a 19th century version of a modern office and trading center. There were 23 shops here, 49 boutiques, 2 inns, a restaurant, warehouses, offices, a post office, a telegraph, a bank, and a hotel. The name Passage described its internal structure, a wide gallery on both sides of which there were entrances to individual shops. This is how most shopping malls are organized today. When they built the passage, many residents considered it indecently high and complained that it had spoiled the appearance of the whole street. Many events significant for the city took place in the passage. In November 1901, the Nizhny Novgorod Society was stirred by unexpected news. The police decided to send the famous writer Maxim Gorky to exile to the town of Arzamas. The reason was his close ties with the revolutionaries. The intelligentsia of Nizhny decided to arrange a farewell banquet for the writer. They chose the prestigious restaurant located in the passage. After the banquet, a huge crowd crossed the Aka bridge on foot to see the writer off straight to the station. This event is considered the first political demonstration in the city. In the 2000s, Passage became a point of attraction for paranormalists. Security cameras detected a half-transparent figure, supposedly a woman's, moving slowly in an empty hall at night. The recording was examined a countless number of times. There were a lot of versions of the personality of the ghost. Unfortunately, the security service of the passage definitely proved that the camera had recorded the flight of a big piece of plastic in a current of hot air coming from a powerful heater. So the passage failed to get a ghost of its own. Point 13. Bugrov's Bank, 27 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. This luxurious building, decorated with green ceramic tiles, belonged to the merchant Bugrov. Nikolai Bugrov was one of the richest people, not only in Nizhny Novgorod, but throughout Russia. Although Bugrov himself did not live here and rented this house out to a bank, the facade is decorated with the first letter of his family name, B. The ancestor of the Bugrov's clan, Pyotr Bugrov, was a simple bargeman who managed to make a fortune despite being illiterate. He was hired for the navigation period to pull vessels upstream against the river. It was extremely hard physical work, and it ruined Bargeman's health, but it was well paid. His son Alexander inherited and expanded his father's business, and the greatest success was achieved by his grandson Nikolai. He was called the uncrowned king of Nizhny Novgorod. At the stock exchange, he was considered to be the boss and sat at the millionaire's table during ceremonial tea parties. He was on friendly terms with the Minister of Finance and the Governor of Nizhny Novgorod. Bugrov was also known for his eccentricity. He never had account books. He made all his calculations in mind and kept the most important documents in the pocket of his jacket. His family life was incredibly unhappy. He outlived three wives, all of them dying young. Three times a widower, he could not marry for the fourth time. Every year he brought to the city a beautiful village girl. After a year of service, Bugrov gave her a house in the country and a husband, chosen among his employees. There was a village populated mostly by Bugrov's ex-lovers and their husbands. Nikolai Bugrov died in 1911, leaving no lawful wife or legitimate children. His great fortune went to his sister. Maxim Gorky wrote about Nikolai Bugrov. "I often met this man in the city's shopping streets, big, heavy, in a long coat, in brightly polished boots, and in a cloth cap. He walked with a heavy walk, his hands in his pockets, walking straight to the people as if not seeing them. And they gave way to him, not only with respect, but almost with fear." It was that amazing man who ordered the construction of the building, most modern and stylish at that time. Point 14. Rukavishnikov's Bank, 23 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Not far from Bugrov's Bank, there is another remarkable building called Rukavishnikov's Bank. An heir to a famous merchant's clan, Sergei Rukavishnikov had a burning passion for building. In particular, there was a whole block of Art Nouveau bank buildings in Rozhdestvenskaya Street. The impressive building of the bank, with a glimpse of Gothic in its outlook, hasn't changed much in the last 100 years. The walls are still covered with ceramic tiles. It's hard to believe that Sergei Rukavishnikov's grandfather was a man of modest means. He started with blacksmithing and selling bread, salt, and vodka. Having accumulated some capital, he opened an iron trading shop at the fair. His son Mikhail continued the family business. In his old age, he earned the nickname an iron old man, based both on the nature of his work and on his character. He left more than 1 million rubles as a legacy to each of his sons, but none of them multiplied his father's capital. His children preferred to spend money. Thanks to Sergei Rukavishnikov, several beautiful buildings appeared in the city. This one was built in 1908 to the design of the most expensive and fashionable architect, Fedor Shchakl, the recognized founder of Russian Art Nouveau. the facade tiles made by the famous Villeroy & Boch company were brought from Germany. The figures of the worker and the farmer over the facade were put there before the revolution of 1917, without any idea of the coming union of proletarians and peasants. The statues were symbolizing agriculture and industry. After the revolution of 1917, the images of working people, workers and peasants, became a favorite topic for sculptors. They appeared everywhere. And hardly anybody realized that these two sculptures were installed here by the order of the capitalist Rukavishnikov before the revolution. On the ground floor, there were shops, as evidenced by the huge display windows. The first and the second floors were occupied by the Nizhny Novgorod branch of the Russian Commercial and Industrial Bank. This wonderful house, occupying a whole block, looks completely different from different sides. Point 15. The Salt Office. The Iron Boots Monument. 8. Rozhdestvenskaya Street. The state salt warehouses and the salt office used to be located here. For centuries, salt was a strategically important product for Russians. Salt was used as an all-purpose conservation material for vegetables, fish, meat, and so on. Extraction, transportation, and storage of salt were under constant supervision of the state. The building of the salt office was a real fortress. The entrance to the courtyard was closed with a wrought iron gate. The yard was surrounded by warehouses from all sides. It was a closed space to keep more than 16,000 tons of salt brought here annually, and from here it was transported around the country. The salt office was of such great importance that Empress Catherine II visited it while traveling through Russia. A funny monument in front of the salt office reminds us of the so-called salt fraud, which took place in Nizhny at the end of the 19th century. Several officials of the salt office secretly sold salt from the state warehouses to local traders at a fantastically low price. Then they explained the deficiency of salt in the warehouses by high water. The warehouses were located on the riverbank, so theoretically, high water could have reached them and melted the salt. The merchants knew that they were involved in an illegal deal, but the temptation was too strong. Finally, the fraud was revealed. A tremendous scandal broke out. The merchants were brought to trial, but in the end avoided punishment by donating hefty sums for the needs of the city. But one of them was punished in another way. His own father, the head of the powerful merchant's clan, gave him a present. It was a pair of iron boots. The son had to put them on and wear them for an hour once a year on the date of the trial. That was to remind him of the importance of merchant's honor. Point 16. Переплетчиков's House, 6 Рождественская Street. Near the salt office, there is a house of Fedor Переплетчиков, an outstanding personality and a generous donor. That man was elected the head of the city 3 times and was remarkable for his honesty and selfless labors for the good of the city. When his wife and daughter died, he bequeathed his capitals and real estate to the city. For example, under his will, the income from leasing this house was used to support the poorest families of the city. For many years after his death, Fedor Переплетчиков was remembered with gratitude. In 1867, the famous English writer Lewis Carroll, the author of Alice in Wonderland books, stayed here. He came to Nizhny to see the great fair. When he described this hotel in his diary, he wrote, "A truly bandit place, although without doubt the best in the city. The food was very good, and everything else was very bad." At the end of the 1920s, the technical department of the first division of the future Gorky automobile plant, GAZ, was located here, where American engineers adapted the design documentation of Ford cars to the conditions of the Russian winter and Russian roads. Point 17. The Square of National Unity, John the Baptist Church, Minin and Pozharsky Monument. Finally, we come to the Square of National Unity. John the Baptist Church in the square is one of the oldest temples of Nizhny. In 1611, Minin, Russia's national hero, summoned citizens of Nizhny to free Moscow from foreign invaders from the steps of this church. In the early 17th century, Russia was going through hard times. This period in Russian history is known as the Time of Troubles. After the death of the last son of the Tsar, Ivan the Terrible, the dynasty of Rurik was terminated. The country did not have a legitimate ruler, and pretenders to the throne appeared. Most of them declared themselves to be descendants of Ivan the Terrible. The majority of them took the name of his son Dmitry, who died in early childhood. One of these false Dmitrys led a troop of Polish mercenaries who captured Moscow. Soon he was murdered, but the Polish did not go back to Poland, and soon another pretender appeared. The country was in fact in a state of civil war between supporters and opponents of different pretenders. In addition, after a few bad harvest years, people were starving. In many regions, epidemic diseases broke out. In that terrible situation, a commoner of Nizhny, Kuzma Minin, called the citizens to unite and save the country. It was vital to form an army and supply it with everything necessary: weapons, horses, food. With the efforts of Minin, militia troops were assembled. The people of Nizhny donated a large part of their property to arm them. Then Minin asked Prince Pozharsky, known as an experienced warrior and a man of honor, to lead the militia. In 1612, Minin and Pozharsky, leading the voluntary army, won the battle for Moscow. To honor that event, a state holiday, the Day of National Unity, was established in Russia. It is celebrated on the 4th of November. The nationwide election of the Tsar was organized, as a result of which a new lawful sovereign, the first of the Romanov dynasty, ascended to the throne. The Minin and Pozharsky monument is opposite the church. If you have ever been to Red Square in Moscow, you could see the same monument there. Originally, it was intended for Nizhny, ordered to the famous sculptor Martas, and paid for with the citizens' donations. But at the beginning of the 19th century, Moscow took the monument for itself, as the capital city had suffered a lot from Napoleon's invasion and needed to be decorated. For Nizhny, a modest obelisk was made. You can see it in the Kremlin. In 2005, Nizhny was offered a copy of the monument. The sculptor depicted Minin and Pozharsky according to the fashion of the 19th century for antique art. Prince Pozharsky, being a professional warrior, is dressed and armed like a character of ancient Greek myths. Minin, symbolizing the courage of ordinary people, is wearing a traditional Russian shirt and trousers. The relief of the monument depicts the people of Nizhny who are donating their property and sending their sons to join the militia. 13. The Homeless People's Shelter, 2 Rozhdestvenskaya Street. This red brick building was built at the end of the 19th century at the expense of Nikolai Bugrov, one of the richest merchants of the city, as a homeless people's shelter. The shelter was made for the poorest people, called barefoots in Russia. A barefoot is a pauper who has no roof, no profession, and no relatives to ask for help. Usually, such people came to Nizhny in navigation period to earn something, and stayed in the city to make it through the winter. It could provide shelter for 500 people, but soon turned out to be too small for everyone who desired to get there. Usually, there were not less than 700 people at once. In the shelter, people could get a place in a warm room, a pound of bread, and a glass of hot water for free. It was especially important in winter, when spending the night in the street in the open could mean a sure death. At 5 in the morning in summer, and at 7 in winter, a bell rang. That was a signal for the people to leave the shelter. There was an inscription over the facade. No vodka, no songs, keep silence. The rules were respected. Gorky wrote his famous play, The Lower Depths, under the impression of a visit to this shelter. Nikolai Bugrov himself said about the shelter that there is no way out of this house, like from a whirlpool. Point 19. The Barefoot's Tea House, The Pillars, 11 Kozhevennaya Street. At the initiative of the writer Maxim Gorky, a tea house for the poor was opened not far from the shelter. The money was donated by the richest people of Nizhny Novgorod. The people called this establishment The Pillars because of the columns over the entrance. Maxim Gorky did his best to attract public attention to the problems of the poor citizens, particularly when poor people had to leave the shelter on winter mornings. It was still cold and dark in the street, so they went to inns where they ate and drank against a credit. In spring, when the navigation started, they were actually enslaving of innkeepers who leased them to dock owners. In order to prevent it, Gorky persuaded two rich merchants to organize a tea house for poor people. There, they could buy simple, cheap food, get tea and bread for free, find a shelter for the day, take a book from the library, and even be examined by a doctor. Free performances, lectures, public readings were arranged for the poor there. Near the entrance, there was an inscription, "Alcohol is a poison, exactly like arsenic, like henbane, like opium, like any other substance killing the man. On the day people want it, they will prohibit open sales of spirits. Vodka will only be sold in pharmacies, only by doctors' prescriptions. That very day there will be more light in our lives, more happiness." Poor people highly estimated the pillars. They kept it clean and safe. That was a brilliant example of self-organization. In 1905, the police closed the tea house as a possible breeder of revolutionary ideas. In 1913, it was opened again, but in 1917, Bolsheviks closed it, this time as a possible breeder of anti-revolutionary ideas. Our walk has come to an end. We hope you liked Rozhdestvenskaya Street. Clamped between the hill and the river, it has preserved the spirit of old merchant Nizhny Novgorod. We can still imagine ourselves in the 19th century, coming for shopping at the biggest fair in Europe, Nizhny Novgorod. You can also download an audio guide for Bolshaya Pokrovskaya Street, the main promenade of Nizhny Novgorod. We wish you a pleasant stay.